Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Why don't we stand and let's read verses 1 through 11 responsively. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make a covenant with you, an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee.
Seek ye the Lord, for he may be found. Call ye upon him, while he is near.
Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and turneth it not thither, the water of the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may be a seed to the sower, and bread to the eater.
So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to preach it another time. We thank you for all that are here to listen. I do pray that you will bless your word. Just bless it to our hearts and lives. Draw us closer to you. Revive us in our minds and in our hearts and in our love. May we have more love to you, more love to our brothers and sisters, more love to give to this lost and dying world. I pray, God, you'd make us an evangelistic people. Make us a people that have a heart for the lost. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Verse 2 was talking about, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Isn't that amazing? My dad was trying to teach me a few things when I was young, and he ceased to spank me in any way by the time I was 12 years old, but then he gave me these talks. That was one of those talks. I'd work and get some money and go out and do something, and my dad would say, well, what do you got left? What do you got to show for it? And I didn't have anything left. I didn't have anything to show for it. And I would just feel like a big dummy. And that's what he called me, you big dummy. So when I called you big dummy, I'm just living out my childhood, you know. And it's just passing it on to you. He said, you big dummy. You spent all that money and you got nothing. You don't even have anything. You know, you wasted it. You just blew it. Well, that's what the Lord's saying right here. Through the prophet Isaiah, we have a tremendous prophet, Isaiah. He writes in many, many chapters, almost like he's in the New Testament. And it's a beautiful thing about it. But he says, why do you spend your labor for that which doesn't satisfy? And think about it. Think about all sorts of things that do not really satisfy They don't build you up. They don't build anybody up. And yet you wasted your money on them. Have you ever sat down and thought, man, I wished I hadn't bought that? Have you ever sat down and said, man, I wished I hadn't have done that? Why didn't I think better before I did what I did? And it'll make you wiser. Now, it helps you that you take a look at something and decide you made a mistake. You know what? A whole lot of us have a real problem saying, I was wrong.
That's right. Amen.
Isn't that terrible? I was wrong. The idea that we would be wrong. Our pride doesn't tell us that it doesn't allow us to admit that we're wrong and that we didn't think right, that we weren't using good sense, good common sense. And so he's talking about your life. Why spend your life for something that's not going to pay off? And let me tell you something. Anything outside of Christ is not going to pay off. You understand that? All right. Now, we have the Word of God here, and we have a tremendous chapter going on down to verse 6. Here are some famous verses. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I've been preaching for almost 60 years, and these are a couple of the first verses that I really memorized and put in my head for soul winning. And I've used them I don't know how many times in an invitation, talking to people, trying to get people to get saved and to follow the Lord. And I've preached them in many, many places. I guess every place I go, where is there a place these verses aren't needed? I can't think of one. Any church I can go to, I go into any home. These verses apply. They apply to all of us. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You know, someday, one of these days, you're not going to be around to find the Lord. You say, well, I'm just 20 years old. Hey, I know a guy that died at 20, and that's why I got saved. Because a guy at 20 died. I thought I was impregnable. I thought I'm going to live forever. Good night. Big, strong, healthy. Man, I loved it. I loved my youth. I had a great time. But you know something? You got to meet God one of these days. And one of these days when you meet God, you need some help. So, what a tremendous verse or two here. And I just want to say that how do we study the Bible? I'm asked this all the time. Yeah, well, how can you give us a good way to study the Bible? How can we understand it better? Well, let's take a look at what we're looking at right here. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. There he's a repentance. He will have mercy upon him. That's God's mercy. To our God, he will abundantly pardon. Forgiveness. Wow. Do you realize how many things are in there? Why don't you ask yourself some questions? Instead of just reading and a chapter and thinking, I've got to get through these so many verses or these so many chapters a day, why don't you read till a verse stands out to you? You got some one verse, maybe two or three together, and they stand out to you. And all of a sudden, you're impressed with these things. Why don't you ask yourself some questions? Why don't you ask questions? What is the Bible teaching here? What can I learn from one chapter? Well, I'd say the first thing is, there is a God. I really feel sorry for atheistic soldiers. Who do they pray to when they're in the foxhole and they're shooting at them? Who do they give thanks to when they've really been blessed? It's a pitiful thing. Listen, it takes so much more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe God created the heavens and the earth. It takes a lot more faith. My mind says when I look at a car, somebody, maybe a lot of somebodies, made that car. When I look at a watch, I know there is a watchmaker. There is no place that you could just take all the stuff that's there and shake it or soak it or drown it or whatever for a million years and get a watch out of it. There's a mind behind it. There's an intelligence that's there. And when I look out at this world, I see a mind. I see great power. I see faithfulness. I'm 80 years old. The sun just keeps on coming up. It just keeps on coming up. That's the faithfulness of God. That's the faithfulness of His creation. And so, for me, Isaiah is saying, you can find God. He's out there. There is a God. And He's there. And He said, seek Him. Seek the Lord while He might be found. So, not only is there a God in Isaiah's mind, and in my mind, He can be found. You know, some people say, well, I've read in books of these philosophers and whatever. Yes, there was a God. He started all this mess, created it, and we don't know where He is now. He's gone off somewhere. He's doing other things somewhere, someplace. Oh, come on. Some of the things that I've read weren't worth reading except to know how to discard, know how to put them aside. God can be found. Now listen, that is a tremendous statement. Why would God want to be found? I don't know. Why would He want to be found by me? That's another question. I don't understand how God would take the time to put up with me, one little person out of the 8 billion that are alive and the 8 billion that have died. Why would God want to put up with me? But I tell you what it tells me. Isaiah is telling you here, God can be found. Look at him. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Well, when is that? I'll tell you what, when you come into the church and you hear the gospel preached, and somebody gives an invitation, or when you go to hear somebody and somebody talks to you and tells you, the Lord did this for me and the Lord did that for me, or somebody comes and says, man, my life was changed. It was changed in a marvelous way. I have a wonderful life now. I thank God for the life that I have now. Found that He can be found by you. It's an amazing, amazing passage of Scripture and the thoughts of what can be there. Well, what does God demand? Can you find it out from here? Repentance. Repentance. You just ask yourself a few questions and think, wow, God is trying to teach me something. There is so much riches. There is so much knowledge. There is so much there for you and me if we just open up our minds and not waste all of our time. But when we look at the Word of God, try to say, what can be taught from this verse or this chapter? Well, He can be found. Tell you something else He says. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. Repentance. You can find repentance in this verse. This verse is a very good verse. You think, what do you mean? God wants to change. You know why a lot of people take up the atheistic attitude? Not the agnostic. I have a little respect for an agnostic. I don't have any respect for an atheist. I don't care how intelligent he is. The agnostic says, there may be a God. I don't know. I'm not sure. And I don't know what his name is. Okay? The atheist is saying with a declarative statement, there is no God. All of this just happened in a muddy bog, in some little stream somewhere, and some amino acids got together, and then we have these amoeba and protozoa, the basic forms of life, and through millions and millions and millions and millions of layers, you came out with those eyes and with that hair and with that body that worked, male and female, to reproduce yourself. It's all an accident of nature. Now that takes a lot of faith. I don't have that much faith. I don't believe in that. What do? I believe. I believe there's a God that's super intelligent. There's a God that is super powerful. There's a God so much smarter than me. Oh, bless your hearts. I'm impressed. I'm impressed with what I've learned of this universe. And I don't know very much. I listen to some of it because of it's interesting to me. And the more I see that they discover, the bigger God gets. Not the smaller, or that he's not there. He's just a whole lot bigger than I ever thought. It humbles me. As an old man, I don't know what I'm going to do when I meet God, except fall down on his face as John did in the book of Revelation. Just fall flat on his face, on my face. I used to think, I'm going to ask God why. You ever thought like that? I'm going to ask God why. I mean, God, I've been studying this word, and I've been trying to get the answer to this question, and I can't find the answer real clear right here. I don't know where it's going. Why? Do you answer your children's why questions? No, you can't answer why. I don't know, honey. It doesn't make any difference. Just go ahead. Eat your cereal. And when I meet God, I'm not going to be wondering about why. The little things I was worried about that were contradictions within my mind, the problems of the universe or the problems of the salvation of the world, they're too big for me. They're in God's hands. Why? I don't have to know why. I just have to know who. God, did you set this in order? Did you put this thing about? Is this going the way you want it to go? Is it going to turn out like you hoped it would turn out? Well, I believe it is. I believe the whole thing is going to turn out, and then we walk through the endless ages of eternity. We're going to go around saying, man, did you see how the Lord did that? Wow. Did you see how he did this over here? Did you see how he made this out? Wow, I didn't understand why he was doing all of that. Well, I'll tell you what. God demands repentance. He wants you to change your mind about your selfish, sinful attitude. Now, we don't need to go into specific stories, but if you watch the news at all, or you read a paper, or you read a magazine, you're going to come across some very stupid decisions by people. Stupid. Wicked. Absolutely wicked. Selfishness blown up to a point that it doesn't matter who it hurts. It doesn't matter who it changes. Now, there are people out there right today, some of them you know, they live it in your block. That's terrible. They're crazy. And the number one thing is they haven't repented of their sins. They have not recognized God as a righteous God, as a God that does not like what they do, as a God that has stated that he does not like what they do. And God is going out here calling for people to repent. He's calling for you to repent. Maybe you're not as wicked as some of those that get put in the newspaper, but you're wicked. Do you recognize it? Can you recognize in your marriage how selfish you are? And how you could have a whole lot better marriage if you weren't as selfish as you are? Have you recognized that within your own family, your brothers, your sisters, your attitude about them, your willingness to get along with them, your willingness to give up something for them. Have you recognized your selfishness there? And then I think about the work of God. 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. Probably 80% of the money is given by 20% of the people. Have you ever thought about you have a responsibility? Can you even repent of your selfishness? Everything's for you. Well, let me tell you, you're going to die. You know, there's one thing you know. Well, unless the rapture comes, what are all of us going to do? Well, you might make 99. You might make 103. I had a dear old lady, a next door neighbor. I didn't think of her as a dear old lady when I was growing up. She was a nag and all sorts of things. But I knew her later on in life, and I visited her. She made a deal with a nursing home. Her husband was dead. She had a 20-year-old car. She had a house paid out. And she was already 80 years old. And she went to a nursing home. And she said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you my paid out house for my living in the nursing home the rest of my life. They said, that sounds like a good deal. They took her up on it. She lived to 103. But then she died. You're going to die. Even if you make 103, you're going to die. Some of you may die at 25. Some of you may die at 30. You don't know when you're going to die. That's not in my hands. I believed for most of my adult life that my wife would outlive me 20 years. She's already dead and I'm still here, and I don't know why. Maybe because I'm preaching this sermon. Maybe somebody here today, would you hurry up and get saved so I can go on? Repentance. Changing your mind about actions that you have done. It's a habit. It needs to be a habit in a Christian's life. You may not be the wickedest person. It might be little things, but you ought to confess those little things to God. This is the way I'm thinking, God, and it's just not right. I don't know what to do about it. I don't seem to be able to whip it. I don't seem to be able to get away from it. But God said here, let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man his thoughts. Return unto the Lord. He'll have mercy upon him. That is my testimony of God for all the years that I've known him. Every time I have returned, I've received mercy. Isn't that wonderful? I can preach mercy. I can go down to the jail today and talk to everybody there. That I don't care whether they were drunk or whatever they've been doing, whatever they've done, the murder, whatever. You know what? I got a message for them. If you'll repent of your sins and call on Jesus Christ, he'll save your soul and change your life. Imagine that. Imagine going out to a man that's killed 3, 4, 5 people. And I can actually tell him on the foundation of the Word of God, if you will repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask him to forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life, he'll do it. You can go to heaven. Is that fair? No, it's not fair. It's the gospel. God is not fair. God is right. God is just. Fair is not always just. But at any rate, God's not necessarily fair. But what I find in these little verses right here, God demands repentance. Now, if you walk up to God and say, Lord, my child is sick. You know, I've been tithing for 10 years. You know, Lord, I go to Sunday school every week. I think you owe me. Heal my child. You're a big dummy. God would never be in your debt. With all he's done for you, with all he's going to do for you, how does a God ever owe you? How do you get to the place where you've paid so much God owes you? No, I don't think so. I don't think you got any chance that way. But even if you've been faithful like that, and you go to God and you tell him, Lord, I'm not very good. In fact, wickedness comes up and shows its ugly face every so often. Maybe every day. Lord, I've been lazy. Lord, I've been selfish. Lord, I've been hypocritical. Lord, I've been whatever. Have mercy. You just might get that prayer answered. God's looking for repentance. He's looking for you to look at yourself, judge yourself, make some changes in yourself, and come out and be a testimony for God down the line. Amen or oh me? Let me tell you what else I see this verse or two here. God's near. He's not far away. Did you ever in your mind think about God? Well, where is the house of God? How far is it out there? Is it way past the North Star? Is it whatever? Where is God? Well, I believe there is a heaven out there, and I believe north is the direction. But let me tell you something. God's near. You know what that sign says out in the front? Property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meetings here in His name. You know what my book says? It said where two or three are gathered together in my name, what? There am I. He's here. Now maybe you don't feel Him. Maybe you don't sense Him. Maybe you can't see Him. Well, let me tell you something. God is here. And He can be reached. He can be reached by you right here inside this room. I realize I'm looking at mostly people who profess to be saved. And I hope you are. Praise the Lord. Maybe there's not many big lost sinners that we've brought in this week. But let me tell you something. God Almighty is near. You don't have to go a long way. You can talk to Him. You can talk to Him. I've made a lot of hospital visits in my 60 years. And in years, my early years, I didn't necessarily talk to someone who was unconscious in a bed. And then I had my oldest boy at 16, and he got spinal meningitis. And he couldn't talk. He couldn't walk. He wasn't seeing right. A lot of things wrong. And the doctors told us there was nothing they could do. That we were simply in the hands of God. They didn't say God, but that's basically what they said. They couldn't do us any good. And I would try to talk to him. All I'd do was just jabber back. Blah, 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 blah. When he got well, and he did get well, praise the Lord. He got completely well. He's 60 years old now. No problems. He told me, he said, Dad, I understood everything you said to me. I was answering you. I understood it all. And I thought, wow. I started going to the hospital and when somebody's comatose, they're out. I talked to them anyway. I talked to them just like they can hear me. I got a little statement that I tell them. I say, if you can hear me, God can hear you. If you can hear me, God can hear you. Now, why don't you repent and call upon the Lord and let Him save your soul and change your life? Why don't you ask Him for forgiveness? What it says, that He's near. Look what else it says. It says in verse 6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. God wants you to seek Him. God commands you to seek Him. God did not leave you out and leave you where you can't seek His face. He hasn't picked you out by race or by heritage or by town or neighborhood or country. He said, seek Him. Seek Him. When I got on my face in Roswell and I began to seek the Lord, I found him. I found him not in a church service. I didn't find him with two or three preachers praying over me. I was in the bedroom. I was on my knees crying and praying and confessing my sin. And I found him. How did I find him? I just turned around and sought him. Confessed my sin. Asked him for mercy. Asked him for forgiveness. Wow. Wow. He's that close. What a tremendous verse. All the things that it teaches you to seek him now. And notice what it says. Call ye upon him while he's near. Seek the Lord. Call ye upon him while he's near. That's how I got saved. I bet it's how you got saved. I bet somebody gave you an invitation to come down to the front and ask God to forgive you and save your soul. And you did it. Or somebody said in your seat right there, why don't you call upon the Lord and let him save your soul? And you did it. And when you called, he answered. Change came in your life. You saw things differently. I see things so differently after I became saved. And as I live through this life, I wouldn't want to live it without the gospel. I look at the greatest thing that ever happened to me was coming to Christ. And all of us just here in one little old verse, two little old verses. Look what it says too, at the end of verse 7. Look at the last sentence. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You sorry, wicked, selfish, stupid person. Am I talking to you? Yeah, I really am. I'm insulting you something terrible. I apologize. I'm sorry that I'm the way I am. I confess that to God all the time. God, I'm sorry I am the way I am. I wish I were better. I wish I were smarter. I wish I were sweeter. I wish I loved more. But you know what? I'm doing the best I can with what love I've got. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Get in the habit of it. Even if you don't need to be saved today, Christian friend, talk to God through your day. Call upon him. Call upon the Lord God and trust him to hear you and answer you and carry you. You got some miserable days in this life. There's some wonderful times, but boy, there are some miserable days. There's sickness and there's pain and there's sorrow and all sorts of things. And what I'm thankful for, it says where I'm going, there's no more pain. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more sickness. Wow. How about that for a blessing? Now we just looked at one or two verses. It's all in that verse. Why don't you do that on a few of your studies? You might get more out of it. If we just ask, what does this teach me? When I don't pick up a genealogy and do that with a genealogy. You understand? But something like this, you know, I hear people questioning the gospel sometimes because they'll hear Jesus tell a story one time and then tell it another. Jesus was never a pastor. He never stayed in one synagogue at one time. He was an evangelist. He was an open air evangelist all 3.5 years. If he didn't preach his sermons over and over at different places, then a lot of people would have missed out on a whole lot of what he had. What you have is one or two copies that was written down by somebody and made the word of God, but Jesus was out preaching that every day. And I was an evangelist, and this evangelist comes in, he's not going to build 10 new sermons for us. He's going to preach the ones that he likes best. He's going to preach the ones that he thinks that the Lord wants him to preach. And there's some probably that he really knows. Well, that's what Jesus did. And it's the same way with this verse. For 60 years, I've been using this verse. Before I leave a house, I would open up my Bible and turn it around to him. And I'd say, you need to seek the Lord while he may be found. What does that mean? He's here today. He's here today. He's near. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him, and he will abundantly pardon. What a promise. What a great invitation. Do you realize God wants your company? Maybe nobody else does, but God does. Maybe nobody else really cares in your situation. God does. Maybe nobody understands. God does. Call upon him while he's near. And let me tell you what, if you seek his face, he'll be near. Guarantee it. Guarantee it, you seek his face, he'll be near. Now, if you're here and you're not saved, this verse tells you how to get saved. Get to God, ask him to forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life. He'll do it. Jesus Christ paid your debt. You can stand in the righteousness of Christ before the courts of heaven. Wow. What an opportunity. What an invitation. But my Christian friends, as most of you are, you can talk to God every day. You might, your drive to work might be a whole lot better if you'd talk to God. Instead of worry about the traffic, just slow down a little bit. Back off a little bit. You don't have to be 10 feet at going 70 miles an hour. You don't have to be. You can back off a little bit. Let them run around you. Who cares? Why don't you talk to God on your way? Why don't you talk to God while you're washing the dishes? Why don't you talk to God while you're sweeping the floor? Why don't you talk to God while you're doing that menial job, that hard work out there? Why don't you just talk to him? He's near. He's near. He can hear you. And he's a merciful God. He will abundantly pardon. I have been abundantly pardoned. I have received mercy upon mercy upon mercy. That in my whole life, I look back, I look with joy. And I had my troubles. I've had troubles, just like everybody else had troubles. But man, God went with me in every area of my life. I don't know how God protected me. He did. He did. Thank God for that. Why don't you just start seeking the Lord right now? Why don't you seek the Lord this next 2 weeks or so in our revival meeting? Why don't you make this personal and seek the Lord while he may be found? He is findable today. You can find him. He can understand every problem you've got. He sympathizes with you more than any person in this room, including your mother. He sympathizes with you. And what you can do, you can seek the Lord as a habit. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to get on your knees. You don't have to get into a quiet spot. Right in the middle of traffic, you can seek the Lord. Right in the middle of your troubles, you can seek the Lord. And that's what you ought to be doing. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You know what I know? Look out at verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Now what I've been talking to you about is how to interpret and how to understand his word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It's not going to be a waste. You may think I'm wasting my time passing out all these tracts. I'm wasting my time talking to all these people. No, not if you're giving them any part of the word of God. You're not wasting your time. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I tell you what God did, it's going to be done. what he planned, it's going to turn out. And when you and I get to heaven, we're going to walk through the fields. We're going to walk through the streets of gold. We're going to go to our mansion. We're going to praise God. We're going to jump and shout and sing. And we'll be so thankful that God saved our souls and changed our lives. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Reject the thoughts of your heart that you know are wrong. Let God have his way in your life.